Well, good day, my friends. It's wonderful to be with you again today as you tune in to Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning. And you're listening to Dr. Dion Foster, and this program is called The Ministry in Me. And it's wonderful each week just to be able to have an opportunity to share with you one or two insights from the Word of God and to spend a little bit of time in the Scriptures, and particularly with an emphasis to think about how you can use your life and your ministry in order to glorify God. And just to say, as we remind you just about every week, that your life can be ministry, your work can be worship, and what you do for the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, can bring glory and honor to God. You don't need to be a pastor in order to get something out of this show. If you're in your office and you're tuned in, or you're stuck in the traffic in your car, or if you're at home and you're planning for your kids to go off to school or come home from school, then let me assure you that God can be honored by what you're doing. Now, today I want to talk a little bit about a subject which is quite close to my heart, and that is the subject of church and community. Now, I don't know how many of you have listened to, have read that wonderful book by William P. Young called The Shack. I heard quite a bit about this book, and so I went out and bought it and listened to it over a couple of weeks, and found it to be such a wonderfully encouraging book. But one of the things that William Young deals with in the book is the fact that so many people who love Jesus have moved away from the church. And I don't know about you, but think about it for a moment. How many people do you know who love the Lord, but who find it difficult to fit into a local church community? Who find that perhaps they no longer are stimulated by the worship and the preaching and the teaching? Or maybe they've had a bad experience with a pastor or a member of a local church, and so they've given up on the church. Well, friends, I want to say to you today that we need to think very, very seriously about this notion of community. As you know, I'm a very, very strong believer in the fact that there is a place for marketplace ministry. That means in your workplace, in the schools, education system, and of course in the political arena, that we can honor God and bless God in the marketplace. But the one thing that I'm sure about is that the Church of Jesus Christ is not incidental. It's not just per chance that God has created this community called the church. Now, when the church functions well, it blesses God and it blesses those who are members of it, who attend it. And today I want to talk to you about the reason why we simply cannot do without the community of the church. And let me say to you right off the bat that today's message was inspired by one of the teachings from Bill Hybels in his teachings 40 Days of Community. And I really would encourage you, if you have an opportunity to attend one of those courses run at a church near you, get into it. It was really just a mind-blowing opportunity for me to learn a few things about the church. But let me start by reading you a passage from Scripture, and I want to read from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And this is a very well-known passage that speaks about the early church, the very first church that was started after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, from verses 42 to 47, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Luke writes, "They," that's the believers, "devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship with one another, to breaking bread and to prayer." So you can hear that there's something about more or less what the churches do today. There was teaching, there was fellowship, there was breaking of bread, and there were prayers together. Listen to verse 43. It says, "Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together, and they had all things in common." Isn't that a remarkable view of the church? "They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent time together in the temple, they broke bread at home." Notice that they met in one another's homes. They didn't just meet in the temple. If you go and look at verse 46, it says they spent time together in the temple, and then they broke bread together at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now, I don't know about you, But when I look at that kind of picture of the church, it blesses me. That's the kind of picture of the church that I long to see. Now, today I want to speak to you a little bit about your picture of the church and why it's important for you to be in a Christian community. The first reason, and the simple reason, is simply, friends, that we are designed to be in relationship. We are better together. God has designed us to be reliant upon one another and to be blessed by being in community. You know, on Sundays, we will find that we will be able to unlock something that is much deeper by being sharpened and blessed by others. You know, God wants to accomplish God's purposes in the world, and the reality is that I don't know any person who is equipped or strong or gifted enough to accomplish those purposes alone. We need one another. Now, why do I say this? Well, because, friends, living God's way is all about love. And love is something that is best expressed in relationship. Wouldn't you agree with me? Remember what Jesus said? He said, "By this will all people know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." You see, one of the most effective witnesses that we can have in the world is love amongst the disciples of Jesus Christ. And so I want to share with you just a few reasons why we are better together, why we can work better together in order to bless God, and why you can link your passion, your gift, your ability, and your desire to love Jesus fully with others in order to glorify and bless God. Remember, this is about the ministry and me here on Radio Pulpit, and this is an opportunity for you to see how you can develop your ministry and how you can relate yourself to others. Now, the first reason why it's better for us to be together is because, number one, we fellowship better together. Remember, we read today that the believers were together and they fellowshipped with one another. Now, today I want us to look at the reasons why we need each other, and the Bible lists five of them. The first thing that we realize is that we fellowship better together. Now, when we look at how the church is modeled on the Church of Acts in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, we'll see that the disciples and the believers continued to fellowship together and they were close to one another. Now, what is fellowship? I wonder if you've ever asked yourself that. Fellowship is not just some strange church word. The Greek word for fellowship is the word koinonia, and it means to be as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you? Koinonia means to be as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. You see, God the Father is the Father of our family. And as God looks down on God's family, the church, he says, "I want you guys to be as committed to each other as you are to me." Now, sadly, the church doesn't guarantee fellowship. Just belonging to a local church doesn't guarantee that you're in fellowship. You can be a member of a church for your entire life and never experience deep, meaningful, and significant relationships. You can totally miss what it is to have a genuine heart-to-heart, a soul-to-soul fellowship with another believer. In fact, churches are so filled with lonely people, and I think most of you will agree. I've experienced it myself, where I've been into a church and left there feeling more lonely. You see, it's not natural. It's something that fellowship is something that we have to learn. We were created to be in relationship with one another, but since sin has entered into the world, we find it difficult to do so. And so we have to learn how to build fellowship with one another. So fellowship is something that we learn. Now, in the Bible, there are four levels of fellowship that are listed about being together. And I want to encourage you that you just make a note of these and think about them. Share them with someone in your small group or in your church. There is the fellowship of being together, and that's the fellowship of socializing. And this is what most people think fellowship is all about. Now, friends, I want to say to you that's good, but it's only the first step. Socializing is only the first step. The next kind of fellowship that we get together that breeds commitment and a heart-to-heart is learning together. Now, that is what the disciples went through. They learned about Jesus, and they learned about Jesus together with one another. Different perspectives, different insights, different challenging thoughts, all these things challenge us. You know, it's a little bit like riding a race. It may be more peaceful riding your bicycle alone, but when you ride against others, when you pace yourself against them, when they chase you or they encourage you to move on, or when you find a way to overtake someone, you'll find that your results get better. So that's the second thing. Learning together is the second way of being in fellowship. The third way of being in fellowship together is serving together. You know, friends, there can be nothing more rewarding than making a difference to the lives of others, even when this is difficult. You know, this is perhaps the largest impact that any Christian community could ever have, is to truly fellowship by serving together. Can you imagine how close you can grow to people alongside whom you serve in the world? The fifth way of serving together is biblical fellowship, and this is perhaps the deepest type of fellowship, and this is the fellowship of suffering together. So let's just quickly run through them. There's socializing together, there's learning together, there's serving together, and then the final one, the deepest one, is the fellowship of suffering together. Friends, the reality is that every single one of us encounters hard times, but sadly, so many of us choose to suffer alone, or we find it difficult to find others who will live with us and walk with us in our suffering. Now, friends, I want to say to you, you cannot commit to fellowship in a crowd. You can't fellowship with 100 or 200 or 300 or 1,000 people. And so please can I encourage you to realize that simply attending church on a Sunday is not fellowship. The kind of fellowship that I'm talking about is the fellowship with 4 or 5 or 6 people, maybe 8. In fact, when you get your group to 10 or 12, then I want to say your group is getting too big because people can hide in it. So why do we need to get into fellowship? Well, because friends, everybody needs relationships. Now think about it for a moment. How is your fellowship level doing? Right, number 2. The reason why God wants us to be in relationships with others is because we worship better together. Not only do we fellowship better together, but we worship better together. And this is the second reason why we need each other. You see, we don't just fellowship better together, but when we get together with another group, we find that there are many benefits to corporate group worship that you could never have just by worshiping by yourself. Now, the Bible talks about this a lot, and let me say it's not an either-or. You don't either worship by yourself or worship in community. You need the two of these things to fully worship God. In fact, the Bible commands that we get together on a weekly basis. This is not an optional. If you're a believer, God says you need to meet with other members of the family at least once a week to worship. Look at the verse out of Leviticus 23. You have 6 days to do your work. Did you hear that, workaholics? 6 days to do your work, but on the 7th day of each week it is holy because it belongs to the Lord. Now, no matter where you live, you must rest and you must find some time to be with your family and to be with God and make that worship. Now, later in the New Testament, we read Jesus saying, "I'm doing this for your benefit." This principle of working 6 days and every 7th day taking a day off to worship, the Bible says, is a Sabbath day. And God made the Sabbath for people. He says he made it to keep us from burning out. And as we get together, we worship. It recharges us spiritually and physically and emotionally in ways that could never happen if we simply went about it ourselves. You know, last night I had the joy of being at the Newlands Cricket Stadium where Uncle Angus Buchan spoke. It was wonderful to be there. I guess there must have been about 20,000 people worshiping the Lord. You know, friends, that recharged my batteries. It gave me hope. It filled me with joy. Now, God says it's all good and well to worship on your own, but God wants you to worship with others. Now, why does God say this? Why does God want us to worship together? Well, there are lots of benefits. Let's look at a few of them. The first is that worship moves from being a chore to being a joy. You see, a little boy once went into a church and he was, you know, these Anglican and Methodist churches like mine, often what they would do is they would put the gravestones of the founder members inside the church once the graveyards had been done away with. And little boy walked into the church once and he said to his daddy, "Daddy, who are all of these people on the walls there?" And there was a memorial to people who had died in the First and Second World War. And his daddy said to him, "Son, these are the people who died in the services." And the little boy looked confused, and then he said to his dad, "Dad, did they die in the morning service or in the evening service?" You see, friends, the reality is that God wants us to find blessing together. You see, we need to find that we've got to worship God. I read a wonderful little poem that says, "When I've nothing else to do, I think I'll pay a visit. So when at last I'm carried in, the Lord won't say, 'Who is it?'" Now, friends, I want to encourage you just to recognize that there is joy in being together with other believers. It brings God joy when His children worship together, but it can also bring you joy. Second thing is that worshiping together enlarges your perspective on worship. When we worship with others, we can see something of the joy of God, the commitment of God to others, and we learn unfamiliar songs and different rhythms. Sometimes we get challenged to be more quiet, and sometimes we get challenged to be more joyous. I don't know about you, but if I simply chose to do the things that I liked all the time, I would only eat hamburgers and pizza. But thank God for my wonderful wife who likes vegetables and for my children who need nutrients. Because we eat together, I have to eat the things that they eat. And I discover that I actually do enjoy beans and love potatoes and sweet potato. This is the same thing with worship. When we worship together with others, we can find an opportunity to learn from them and to be blessed by what brings them joy. And it teaches us to be less selfish about our own needs and our own desires. The third reason why we need to worship together is because worshiping together is how Jesus intended it to be. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. He said, "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." You see, this is the promise of Jesus. It's His joy to be with us when we are together. Now, friends, I want to ask you, don't you long to be in the presence of Jesus Christ? Then you need to get into the presence of other believers, because Jesus promises that when we get together with other believers, Jesus will be there. Now let me ask you, how committed are you to weekly worship? You say, "Well, I'll come when it's convenient. I'll come when the weather's good. I'll come when there's nothing good on TV." No, 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 my friends. Please, can I encourage you? God wants you to meet with the children whom God loves, your sisters and brothers, in a weekly worship service. The family of God must worship the God who is their Father. And so I want to challenge you to get into regular worship. I want to challenge you to bring someone along with you so that you don't worship alone. Bring your husband, bring your wife, bring your children, and see if you can find a way to bless and honor God together. Right now, number three, why do we need each other? Well, not only because we fellowship better together, not only because we worship better together, but the third reason why we need each other, according to Acts chapter 2, is because we grow better together. And this is the third reason. You grow in ways spiritually with other people that you will never grow on your own. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14 says. It says, "Under Christ's direction, the whole body," that means the church, "is fitted together, and each part helps the other parts, so that the whole body," that's the church, "is healthy and growing and full of love." Notice the emphasis that Paul puts there is healthy and growing. A body that's missing parts, friends, is not healthy and it won't grow. God wants you to grow. And God wants your church to grow. That's the big idea. But here's the bigger idea. We do it together. We grow together. In fact, you can't really grow spiritually significantly on your own. This may be a bit of a shock to you. You cannot grow spiritually without being connected to the family of the church. You may get some good mental ideas, and you may learn a few things from the Bible or doctrine, but you're not able to grow in the way that God wants you to grow without relationships. Why? Because, as I said earlier, remember, it's all about love. You cannot build relationships if you're not in community. And how can you possibly honor and bless God if you're not living out a relationship with love? How is it possible for a baby to grow without a family? How do we grow together? Well, there are lots of ways in which we grow together, but there are three that I want to share with you today. The first way in which we grow together is by accepting. Acceptance causes people to grow and blossom. I want to encourage you, when last did you show acceptance to someone else? When last did you show them that they're validated, that they're understood, and that they're loved for who they are? You see, when people are treated this way, they thrive and they grow together. The second way in which people grow is when they're admired. You know, we all need inspiration and we all need something to strive for. And the easiest way to do that is within the church. To find someone who is stronger than us, who has a deeper walk with the Lord, and to link up with them. But also to know that you can be that for someone else. The third way in which people grow is by being affirmed. People grow by being encouraged and built up. Boy, I want to encourage you, just pay a few true compliments, notice the word true, to your children and your spouse and see how they begin to change and blossom. You see, friends, everybody needs the others to grow. And so I want to say to you that to be in community is a choice. It's a choice to join a church. It's a choice to get into a small group. You may say that I don't have time for that. Well, friends, that's your choice. You make that choice. You're not going to grow unless you get into community. But I want to urge you today to start choosing to make time for other people. Start choosing to make time to accept others, to admire others, and to affirm others. And I can guarantee you, you're going to grow. Now, the fourth way in which we grow together is not only do we grow because we fellowship together, not only is that why we need each other, and not only do we need each other because we worship better together, and not only do we need each other because we grow better together, but here's the fourth reason why we are better together. We're better together because we can serve better together. Now, this is something that I think many of us have not yet realized. In the family of God, God wants all of God's children to share the chores. Think about this for a moment. If you have three children in your house and only one of them washes the dishes and picks up the dog's mess and tidies the lounge and the other two are there, don't you think that that one child will feel abused and tired and overused and that the other children will just grow up to be naughty, spoilt brats? Now, I often look at myself and have to confess and say, Lord, forgive me for leaving the work to others. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, do you have fellowship together in the Spirit? Then make me happy by working together. In some translations, it says, make my joy complete. It brings God joy when we work together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, help carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will obey the law of Christ. You see, Jesus always cared for the underdog. He always sided with the marginalized and abused people in life. And God wants us to pay attention to everybody. I once heard a story about Fulton Sheen, the Catholic bishop who was in Africa at a leprosy colony. And while he was walking through all these lepers, he came upon a man lying on the ground, almost naked, in a loincloth, in the dust. And he had open sores all over his body. And he had several of a different kind of skin diseases. And as Fulton Sheen leaned over to talk to this man, he was wearing an ornate gold cross. And it broke and fell onto an open oozing sore on the man's thigh. Fulton Sheen said that when he saw the image, he was repulsed. And he said, I just kind of pulled it back in a gasp and I didn't know what to do. He said, all of a sudden I was filled with compassion for this man and I reached into that sore and I took up the cross. And when I heard that story for the first time, I'm never going to forget that phrase. When I looked into the sore, I reached in and I took up the cross. You see, friends, God wants us to look upon the sores and brokenness of the world and to reach in there and pick up the cross of Christ. Building community in the church and loving the community around the church is what God wants us to do. It's not incidental. Remember what we read in Acts chapter 2? People were amazed and they were blessed when Christians had everything in common, when they shared what they had and they met the needs of the poor. When last did you find a few people whom you trust and know and rejoice with to get involved with you in reaching out and blessing others? Well, friends, today we've been talking a little bit about why we need one another, and I hope that you've found one or two little insights here that might help you to bless others. I want to encourage you that if you found this message useful and there are one or two others that you would like to get into a group with, why not order the CD from Radio Pulpit? You can do so from our website, www.radiopulpit.co.za, and give a copy to one or two friends and let them listen to it with you. I want to encourage you to take the challenge that I've given and get into regular weekly worship, number one. And number two, find a small group of people. Remember what I said at the end of the day, it's all about love. A God of love who wants his children to love one another and in doing so, to love God. Well, friends, you've been listening to the program, The Ministry and Me, and this is your host, Dr. Dion Foster, and it's a joy to be with you as always. And just to say, I love to hear from you, and I've been receiving many emails with wonderful comments and encouragements, and one or two folks who are needing prayer, please feel free to drop me a line on email. My email address is digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion, that's one word, digitaldion@gmail.com. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you and pray with you and pray for you and encourage you as you live in community. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Goodbye.